Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the ways that we cultivate thanksgiving in our lives is to be a people that meditates upon the teaching of God's Word. Going through the Word of God and meditating and cultivating that Word, thinking upon that Word over and over again. And this is what the psalmist writes in Psalm 1. This is what the godly man does. He meditates on the law of the Lord day and night. It's his treasure, it's his joy, it's his delight. The psalmist said that he was wearying from his searching the Word of God. His eyes were weary from searching through the teaching of God's Word. And the godly man is a godly man because the Word of God has taken root in his life and is continually, progressively transforming his character. And if we would be a people that we're more meditating upon the truth of God's Word, it would truly affect change in our lives, because this is a means of grace, the chief means of grace that God has given to us for that very purpose, that we might be true worshipers, that we might know how to worship Him. Just think about from Genesis to Revelation, about what God says throughout all of those books of the Bible brought together in one collection we call the Holy Bible, God's Word given by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, which is profitable for rebuke, for correction, for reproof, that the man of God might be thoroughly equipped unto all good works through this Word. God has given this to us, and He tells us who He is. He tells us what He has done. He told us what the Lord Jesus Christ came to do and accomplish that for all that were given to Him, which then sparks the joy within the heart of the believer as we meditate upon the promises of God. Now, I think again, because we don't speak the gospel as often as we should to our own souls, as we don't continually rehearse the work of Christ on our behalf, we grumble, we complain about a lot of things. We have lost the scope of the big picture of what God has done for us. I mean, think about this, that even the evil that He sends upon us in this veil of tears, He will turn to our good. That even the evil that comes upon us must work together for our salvation. No matter how horrendous the event may be in our life, God is using that for the furtherance of our salvation and for His eternal glory. Now, if we would but meditate upon those events that come upon us in this life, whatever trial or tribulation or problems or difficulties or sickness or suffering that comes, we have the promise as believers that God is using those as instruments, as tools to mold and to shape and conform us into the image of Jesus Christ for our eternal good, which then turns to His glory and honor and praise as we praise His holy name. Think about how many people that you know of, that you've heard, go through sickness and suffering. And their life is a constant mumbling and grumbling about it, complaining about it. That for the Christian, that's something that is, it's abominable. Because we've lost the scope, haven't we? We've lost the big picture of what God is doing. And we easily lose sight God's work in our life and in the church when we depart from God's Word. And we become unthankful people, and we become like the unbeliever, which Paul says in Romans 1, the essence of the unbelieving heart is he will not give God thanks. Notice, he will not give God thanks. That's the ethic, that's the state of the heart. His nature is that he is in rebellion, and he will not thank God. The believer, we have been liberated to be a thankful people. Now, I went through a number of scriptures dealing with thanksgiving. I mean, I'm not going to read them all, but I want to read some to you. And I just want you to just sit, if you want to jot down these references, that's fine. But just sit and listen to what we have in numerous Old and New Testament references with regards to thanksgiving. Nehemiah 11, verse 17, there was a leader who began, and he began thanksgiving with prayer. So he was a thankful person, and in that thanksgiving, it started with prayer, which our catechism says is the chief form of thankfulness which we owe to God. In Nehemiah 12, verse 8, the Levites led the thanksgiving psalms. Nehemiah 12, 31, Nehemiah appointed two large thanksgiving choirs, and he put them on the wall. Notice that. To be singing the praises of God while the workers were building the wall. And then he split them up into two divisions and put one on one side and one on the other. So there was antiphonal singing back and forth, the praises and the glory of God, while these men were building the walls. Nehemiah 12:46, he recounts and he refers to the men of old, David and Asaph, he says, and how they appointed chief singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving to God. Psalm 26, verse 7, that I may proclaim the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wonders. Notice a voice of thanksgiving is proclaimed by the believer and tells of the wonders of God. Psalm 50, verse 14, offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Psalm 69, verse 30, I will praise the name of the Lord with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Psalm 95, 2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. Psalm 100, verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Psalm 107, verse 22, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Psalm 116, verse 17, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. 147, 7 of the Psalms, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God. Isaiah mentions the comfort that will come to Zion. And as a response, because of the comfort that God turns the drought and that wilderness into the garden like Eden, the people of God have joy and gladness are found in Zion. And it says, thanksgiving and the voice of melody is heard, praising the Lord for salvation. You remember Jonah. In Jonah 2:9, he says, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. Sacrifice with the voice of thanks to God. In the New Testament, just 5 or 6, 2 Corinthians 4:15, for all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Listen to this one. 2 Corinthians 9:11. You are enriched, every believer is enriched with, he says, in everything for all liberality. Now, contemplate that for a minute. Who gives you strength to get wealth? Who blesses your labor? Well, the Lord does. Why does he give you the things that you have, and he hasn't given them to somebody else, but he's given them to you in particular as people within the body of Jesus Christ, that you might be enriched so that in everything for all liberality. Liberal giving is to care and to share with what God has given to you, which, he says, causes thanksgiving through us to God. So with the liberal sharing that goes on in the body of Christ, there are many thanksgiving and praise that are being offered to God because of the liberality of his people. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Colossians 4:2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. In 1 Timothy 4:4, every creature is good, and nothing is to be refused if it's to be received with thanksgiving. And lastly, Revelation 7:11 and 12. All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures. They fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God. Now notice how they worship God. Their act of worship. It's giving unto the Lord the glory due his strength. It's them actively coming and doing particular things. They fall down upon their face, fall prostrate before him. Job does the same thing, fell down and worshiped the Lord. And this is what they said: Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, that is the theme of the redeemed, is thanksgiving to our God, praise to His holy name. And we must cultivate that in our lives. And we must think upon what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. This will motivate us to be a people who are thankful to Him. Thankful in our praise, thankful when times are good, thankful when times are not so good, thankful in times of health, thankful in times of sickness, in riches, in poverty, and on it goes. Our life is to be one continual act of thanksgiving to God, a demonstration, a manifestation of thanksgiving. It's being a grateful heart, isn't it? Expressing gratitude to God is what it means to be thankful. You sit down at your meal, and you ought to be thankful that the Lord gives you the things that you have. But you ought to be thankful that He has redeemed you. You ought to be thankful that Christ suffered your wrath and my wrath. You ought to be thankful for that. You ought to be thankful that your sins are cast as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against you again. You will never become one who comes before the judgment throne of God and have to give an account for your sins. Christ has done that once for all time. You ought to be thankful for that. You ought to be thankful that God hears the prayers of His people. So you come before the eternal God, the omniscient God, the omnipresent God, the omnipotent God, who rules and reigns in the kingdoms of men and upholds all things by the word of His power, who beckons you and me as His people to gather together and come before Him, casting all of our cares upon Him, knowing that He cares for us. Now, with all those scripture references, what I just said, how can we be unthankful? How can we be grumbling, complaining people? Because that's the contrary to being thankful. If you're covetous, you're an unthankful person. If you're envious, you're an unthankful person. If you are coveting and desiring what your neighbor has, you are simply being unthankful for what God has given to you. And that should not be heard among the people of God. The 10 lepers, 5 were cleansed, or they were all cleansed, but the one returns and gives thanks to the Lord. You see what Jesus' response there. Were there not 10 cleansed? Where's the other 9? In other words, there is an expectation of the benefits that God has given to us, that there ought to be a thankful heart and expression given for the benefits received. It's expected. Only one? Where are the other 9? Now, I'm certain the other 9 were elated that they were healed of their leprosy. But they became so involved and enwrapped upon what their benefit was, they forgot the benefactor. And they ran off right away to their homes, to their family, their loved ones. And they forgot about the one who loved them and was merciful to them and had compassion upon them and healed them. Except the one. We shouldn't be among the 9. We should be like the one who gives Him thanks. Now, looking at our text this morning, verses 15 through 17, this is the way that we cultivate thanksgiving in our life. This is the way of thankful living. He begins by telling us, and this is a command for the people of God, to let the peace of God rule in your heart. So in every area and every aspect of life, peace is to rule in your heart. Your interaction with one another, determining how you are going to live your life when somebody wrongs you, Peace is to be the umpire. Peace is to rule. Why? Because you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And because you have peace with God, you have peace with one another. And we are to cultivate that peace in our life. And that will make us thankful people. It's all connected in here, these two verses here, with thanksgiving. Being thankful. Giving praise to God. Being grateful to Him. And this is what we do as those who dwell in peace. Paul here, in this epistle to the Colossians, seven times he speaks of thanksgiving to God. Chapter 1, verse 2, chapter 1, verse 12, chapter 2, verse 7, chapter 3, right here, 15 through 17, chapter 4, verse 2. He mentions in seven specific occasions giving thanks to God. He writes to the Ephesians, Ephesians 5:20. That in everything we are to give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5, we are to be thankful for everything. This is the will of God for us. Hebrews 13, we are to offer to God the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. That's the life of the believer right there. Giving thanks to the name of the Lord. And this is what the Apostle Paul is instructing us to here in our text this morning. Now, let me give you 3 points. Verse 15, 16, and 17. Verse 15, clearly, let peace rule. Verse 16, let the Scripture dwell. And in verse 17, let the believers praise. Okay, so let peace rule in our hearts. This is what we were called to. Do you notice how he says this? And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. So peace is integral. It's something that is linked to our thanksgiving to God. To being a thankful person is to be a person of peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, Jesus said, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Being a person of peace. Paul wrote in Romans 12, as much as lies with you or depends upon you, be at peace with all men. So as much as you are able to, you ought to be striving to be people of peace. Beginning in the body of Christ, beginning in our families, and extending out from there. And you know, there are some people that are difficult simply to be at peace with. There are some people that you struggle to be at peace with. But the Apostle Paul says, let it not be because of us that we're not at peace with individuals. Let us not be the fire starter, the war maker, the avenger. Let us not be doing that, but leave room for the wrath of God. For vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Not us. Let God do His work as He pleases. Ours is to walk and to be at peace with others. It's a command here. He gives it in the imperative, and it's in the present tense, which is a continual, habitual action in the life of the believer, is keep on dwelling and living at peace with one another. Let peace rule in your heart. Let it be the officiating one within your soul. Be at peace. So when someone has a foul word for you, let peace reign. Let peace rule in your heart. Beloved, how are you doing with thanksgiving in your life? Cultivating thanksgiving in your life. Do you think about being a thankful person? Do you think about being a prayerful person? Do you think about being one who is restored unto true knowledge, true righteousness, and true holiness to live for the glory of God? Do you cultivate God's word in your life? Are you one who searches the Scriptures? Do you desire the Word? Do you understand that this is food for your soul? When Peter and Jesus had the dialogue together, and Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" And Peter said, "Lord, you know I love you." He said, "Well, feed my lambs." Notice that what the food was is the Word of God to cultivate in the life of the believer. We are to feed upon the Word of God. We are those to have the Word tasting sweet in our mouth, going down into our belly, and even as Ezekiel, that Word becoming sour to us, which is simply an expression that the Word must come back up. We must speak that Word to others. We're not a cul-de-sac, beloved. You don't have the Word of God to hog for yourself like you live on a cul-de-sac and all the benefits flow right to you and nothing goes out from you. You are a people that are to go out into the world and you are to proclaim the salvation of Jesus Christ in every tribe, tongue, and nation of the world, in every nook and cranny, and all the highways and the hedges. We are to be people that are evangelistic. And this is a demonstration of our thankfulness to God for redeeming us and our thankfulness in showing that we love fellow mankind and we're compassionate to him. Again, these are things that they must be cultivated because they just don't happen. Those that were up here this morning and were blowing on the horns, it didn't just happen. And get together one day and say, hey, I think I'll play this. It took a lot of practice. And they learned to play it by playing it. And you learn to cultivate and to meditate by cultivating and meditating on God's Word. You learn to pray by praying. Just as you learn to swim by swimming and walk by walking, these spiritual exercises, beloved, are the same type of principle. You learn to read the Scriptures by reading the Scriptures and to cultivate them in your life. And this is, again, as we read through the teaching of Scripture, we'll find that this is taught everywhere in God's Word, that we are to be a people of peace. You know why? Because the Prince of Peace dwells within us, and we reflect his character. So Paul commands us here to let peace rule in our hearts, to which you are also called. You are called to this in one body. So he's referring to some type of an unrest that goes on in the body of Christ. Paul mentions that in 1 Corinthians, doesn't he? People at one another. He says the same thing in Galatians chapter 4. If you bite and devour one another, be careful before you devour one another up. He teaches us here to be a peace-loving people and to be thankful. Be thankful. Can't be thankful if you're complaining about your situation. You won't be thankful if you're grumbling about your sickness. You will not be thankful to God if you're complaining about your lot in life. You won't be thankful if you're envious of what your neighbor has. You will not be a person of gratitude if you're constantly looking over the fence at your neighbor's things. And that happens, doesn't it? Husband will say to the wife, I wish you were like her. The wife says to the husband, well, I wish you were like him. Instead of cultivating that relationship and being thankful for the spouse that God has brought to you and cultivating that, we grumble and we complain and we look at everything else, makes us discontent, makes us not dwell at peace with one another, and makes us unthankful to God for his blessing. And you understand, husbands, that your wife is a blessing. Your wife is a blessing from God. Just as the church is a blessing that the Father gave to the Son, even so, the wife is a blessing for her husband, as God created Eve and brought her to Adam. Cultivate thanksgiving. You don't know what to be thankful for? It's in the Word, isn't it? Then I read a number of things. Be thankful for God creating what he has created. The air that you breathe. Eating and tasting of the good things that he has given. Recognizing that he is the one who sustains you. That he will preserve you, that he will keep you, that nothing will ever snatch you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Can you be thankful for that? Can you be thankful that no matter what situation in your life, nothing will ever separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? You can go through trials and affliction and difficulty with a smile on your face, because the demonstration of Scripture is that nothing takes you from our God. Nothing. He is the one who keeps us. He is the one who sustains us. And Paul goes on and he tells us this. If we're going to have this peace ruling in our heart, we have to be informed by the word of truth. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It actually, in the Greek text, it says, Christ's word, let dwell in you. So it's the Word of Christ. It's the Word of God, the Word of the Spirit of God, dwelling in this Word that it would dwell in you, being in the Word and the Word being in you. And that is going to shape and mold your character, your behavior. Your behavior, your response to others, the words that you speak are directly correlated to the time that you spend in this book. Whether or not you speak biblically, that you understand things in the full scope of God's Word, is going to be heard in the things that you say and how you live your life. It's going to be demonstrated what you believe by the way that you live and the way that you speak. We need to spend time in the Word that the transforming effect might take place continually in our lives, that we be conformed to the image of Christ. We be peaceful people, forgiving people, kind people, compassionate people, giving people, thankful people. So let the Word dwell in you richly. Beloved, how much time do you spend in the Word? And again, I say it. We make time for everything in our lives, don't we? Everything and anything that is important, we make time for. The most important thing in your life must be the Word of God. This is God speaking to you. And it's by this Word that we are informed how we ought to live our lives for God's glory. If we are not in the Word and the Word is not in us, we are not going to understand how to give Him praise, how to worship Him, how to be thankful and praise His holy name. He informs us through the Word how to be Christians, how to live as those who are the redeemed of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles there, turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. And notice our identity in Jesus Christ, beginning at verse 4. 1 Peter 2, verse 4. Coming to Him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Notice that Christ is precious to God. And if Christ is precious to God, He's going to be precious to one begotten by God, those who are born of the Spirit of God. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That's our identity, our purpose right there. We are a spiritual house of living stones being built for this designed purpose of offering spiritual sacrifices to our God. Again, let's run over to Hebrews 13. That's the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to God, praising His name. Drop down to verse 9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Notice, you are. This is who you are. God tells us who we are. The world doesn't define us. God has defined us. God tells us our identity. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but now are the people of God. Once we had not obtained mercy, but now we have obtained the mercy of God. For what purpose? To give Him praise. To give Him thanks. You see, we start there, don't we, with our identity in Christ Jesus. And then our identity defines our purpose. And that is shown to us in God's Word. And then our purpose is to reach out and to give Him praise. So let God's Word dwell in you. Read the Word. Study the Word. Meditate upon the Word. Take portions of the Word and digest the Word. Memorize the Word. Don't simply do a quick little ditty and then run away. Let the Word do its effect. Looking into the perfect law of liberty. James refers to that as an intense look, like under a microscope, into the Word. To understand, to dissect, to realize and to cultivate what God speaks to us in His Word of how we are to live as His people. In this way, you'll be able to walk in wisdom. The Scripture, when it speaks about wisdom, speaks of a practical righteousness. The wise person is the one who hears the word and puts it into practice, who lives the word. James 2 speaks of that. 1 John 3 speaks of that. Jesus in Matthew 7 with regards to the two builders. The one who is wise hears the word and implements what is heard. And that is only as we letting Christ's word dwell in us richly. And then in this way, we'll teach and admonish one another. Teach and instruct one another. And we'll do so in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The psalms obviously coming from the Psalter there, as we are to praise God in that way. The hymns were simply an expression of praise to God. And the spiritual songs were those that dealt with the works of God, gave God glory for the works that He did. And this is the mainstay in the church. We're a singing, praying, thanksgiving people within our songs, within the word that we hear, within the word that we communicate with one another, how we instruct and admonish one another, with all of these teaching tools that are given to us. This is how we communicate for the glory of God. And the apostle says, and with grace in our hearts unto the Lord, so that whatever you do, you go into the store, you're going to go to the store today, you're going to run to Hy-Vee today, do it to the glory of God. You give Him praise. You give Him thanks that you have breath to breathe, that you have the resources to buy the things that you do. You do whatever you do in word or in deed. That covers it all, doesn't it? Our whole action, now thinking about 1 Peter chapter 2, this is what we have been called to give praise to Him. We do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. All in thanksgiving to the Lord Jesus Christ. In our life truly is that which is an outflow of the work of Jesus Christ. His work in us causes us to be a thankful people. We do so giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Beloved, how are you doing with cultivating peace in your heart? You know, the scriptures speak of this here as a commandment to the people of God. It's commanded because we are enabled to do it. You are to be active as an active voice. You are the one that is to do it. The mood is an imperative, which means He commands us in a present tense, which is a continual, habitual letting peace rule in our heart amongst one another. You are to cultivate that. There's never a time when you're to stop doing it. Now, I understand the difficulty of the Christian life. The Christian life is difficult. It's a continual, habitual walk in the same direction, following after Jesus Christ in His Word. And at times it can be difficult. You have the world and the flesh and the devil combating you as you're desiring to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. But God has regenerated your souls. He has created faith within your heart. And He has enabled you to do this by the working of the Spirit. That's why peace is commanded of us. It's not only an objective peace that we have in Christ. It's not only a subjective peace that we have that dwells within our own hearts. But it's also a relational peace that we must cultivate with one another. Don't be at war with one another. Don't be a fighter. Don't be a problem starter. There's a lot of those in the church. Starting and stirring up problems at the drop of a hat. Looking for ways and for things to stir up problems. That is not those who have been raised with Christ, as Paul said in verse 1 of this chapter. You're to seek those things that are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Be those who let peace rule in your heart and among one another. And you do that by letting that word dwell in you. It's how the Spirit rules us. So that in every situation in your life, no matter what it is, your response will be in accordance with the will of God, the word of God. You respond accordingly. What do you do when somebody speaks ill of you? Filled with the word of Christ, then the word speaks to you that you're not to render unto others the way they render to you. How should you behave towards one who never communicates with you? Well, Jesus told us, didn't He? Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Do you want people to extend you mercy? Who doesn't? Be merciful. Do you want to be at peace with men? Be peaceful. Do you want people to extend grace to you? Be a gracious individual. Do you want to be forgiven when you have your moments and difficulties in life? Be a forgiving individual. You want friends? Proverbs says, be friendly. Do you want people to speak kindly to you? Speak kindly to them. And beloved, this is a difficulty right here in the Christian life. Is responding to people who respond, who speak ill of us, who are unkind, who are just simply grouchy towards us. Responding to them, not as they to us, but according to the ethic of Scripture. That's a lifelong lesson, isn't it? We respond to people, we address people, no matter what they say, according to God's word as our standard and our rule, not according to the sinful desires and the emotions. Paul said, put all those off. Put all those sinful emotions and desires and those responses off and walk in the truth. That happens as we let God's word dwell in us richly so that we might be thankful people. We have been blessed with so much. But don't just stop giving thanks for the blessings. You sit down today with your family, with your friends. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the things that God has given. There's everything right about that. That we receive them with thanksgiving. We give God thanks for them. That He gives us all things richly to enjoy. There's nothing wrong, beloved. It's everything right to enjoy the good things that God has given. It's everything right to sit around a table with family, with loved ones, and to enjoy good food that God has given to us, and good drink, and good company and fellowship. It's everything right about that. But don't stop short in your thanksgiving for simply the material blessings. These material blessings, they're all going to pass. What will never pass is the spiritual blessings, which are eternal. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word, Jesus said, will never pass away. Food is for the body, and the body is for the food or for the stomach. God will destroy both it and them. Remember to thank God for who He is, for His attributes, that He is holy, righteous, He's merciful, He's long-suffering, He's compassionate, He's just. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's the holy, holy, holy God. The one who is immutable, impeccable, who cannot lie, cannot change. This is the God that we worship, who has called us, from the darkness of this world, which we deserve to dwell in, but in His mercy and grace has gathered us together, brought us in as the people of God, and has illuminated our mind, created faith in our heart, and put a new song in our souls, thanksgiving to our God. Sing it, beloved. Sing the thanksgiving to the God who has redeemed us from all of our sin and misery. This is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. Amen. Shall we pray?